Well, hello, guys. It's great to be back with you. Let's see, we got Eva here. Horse Creek Production. Man, I'm dying to find out who Horse Creek Production is. So you're gonna have to let us know in the chat area. Especially now with all the Zoom bombing, alleged Zoom bombing. And Susan's going to be joining us here today. Yeah, in fact, I think she just logged in. It's her last call. It's crazy. Crazy, crazy. All right. Just going to be setting things up here, guys. And we're going to get going here in a sec. Hey, Susan, is that you? I just wanted to make sure that that was you that I'm seeing.
Yeah, hi there.
Hello, how are you?
I'm doing great. Good.
Super.
Yeah. Good, good, good.
Oh, Horse Creek Production is Ann. All right, cool, Ann. Well, I knew it was one of us, but I just wanted to make sure. Great to have you here. And we got, so it's just Eva and Ann right now. I'm just going to give everyone another minute or so. Hey, while we're waiting, I'm curious, how is everyone handling the stay-at-home orders? How strict is it in your state? I'm curious. Every state seems to be very different, and then they enforce things a little different too. Let us know in the chat area. Curious to know. Eva says Wisconsin sucks. How was it over there for you, by the way, Susan? I don't think I asked you last time we talked. Is Maine being pretty strict?
We have a stay, shelter in place, and most businesses are closed. So there's not really anywhere to go anyway, except the grocery store and the gas station. But we are, and all the beaches are closed pretty much all along the coast because they left them open. Hey, Greg, hello there. They left them open and people started congregating and they were not paying attention to the social distancing thing and they were kind of, too close. So they decided to close all the beaches all the way up and down the coast, which really stinks.
Oh, man. Can
But
you go out for a run?
yes, I've been, well, I go out at 6 a.m. So before the, before anybody's out, really, I go out nice and early. And but I park in, so all of the hotels have to be closed as well up here. So they've closed down everything. And so I park in a hotel, vacant hotel parking lot right near where I usually park anyway, and run from there. So it's been good. But yeah, they're not, as a matter of fact, the police, if they drive by, I wave, and but I always do anyway. They always wave to me and stuff, so they recognize me because I'm out there every day. So
Just taking care of my mental health.
yeah, no kidding. Oh my goodness. Yeah.
Let's see. It was Eva says you can't do anything in Wisconsin. That's crazy. And PA says, and you can go out to the grocery store. Same thing. Georgia's weird. We got such a weird governor. I don't get it. Not a very smart dude. So everything, you can go out to the grocery store. You can go to a restaurant for curbside pickup. But you can't, oh, and you can go out to nature, like hiking and fishing, hunting, but you've got to keep the 6 feet. I'm glad there are some states where you can't even go out for a run. I think that's a huge mistake
I do too.
because, right? I mean, like people, talk about the importance of physical and mental health. That's more dangerous, I feel, for most people than the virus, if you're not in a high-risk group. So, yeah,
Definitely.
I
I
don't
know.
understand the
Yeah,
reasoning.
I don't either. That's just being able to get out for a walk. Like some places, the houses are very close together. The neighborhoods are dense, and I've been hearing that in some places you can't even like take your dog out beyond your yard, kind of thing. Like if you have a dog and you want to go for a walk, you really they don't want you to. So
Wow.
all of that
Yeah.
is, and I have two dogs, and I run them with me every day, and we would all be chewing on the couch if we didn't get a chance to do that. So
Oh yeah. Yeah, it's a, Patricia says in Calgary, all of our dog parks are open. Interesting. Okay,
oh, nice.
Which automatically means, you know, you got people out. I know it's cold as crazy over there, right, Patricia? I mean, I think you guys have had some really cold weather. I know talking to Crystal the other day, she had a bunch of snow on the ground still,
yep.
And it was below zero, which is just crazy with everything blooming here. It's snowing today, she said. Oh, that's, see, that one thing we do have going for us is we are definitely in the middle of a beautiful spring. Everything is blooming. The leaves finally came out in the last week. And, like, we're out. I mean, well, I'm out every morning, you know, getting exercise. People are out walking, exercising, riding their bikes, running. So it's good to see that. We're even doing here in my house, I've got a big driveway. We just do a Friday afternoon happy hour with our neighbors, but everyone's like 15 feet apart. It looks so weird. So it's like our way of saying, oh my gosh, you know, we need a drink. Oh man. Okay. So, crazy times, guys. I tell you, so let's switch gears a little bit and, start as always with quick wins, not quick wins, but just wins in general over the past weeks. It's so easy, I think, to dwell, especially right now, on the negative. And believe me, I'm not immune to that. I mean, I'm really trying to limit my time in social media and just reading up on developments because I get pretty upset pretty quickly. And what I'm trying to do is every minute that I spend on that, trying to spend at least 2x that time on something more positive and constructive. So that way that's another way I kind of limit that. But, this is one great way of doing that. This definitely counts. So let's share wins. I want to celebrate those with you. Just type in a capital W. Let us know about something good that's happened in your world. And listen, it could be in your business. It could be in your personal life. It could be the fact that, you know, you're healthy right now. Your kids are healthy. You got a roof over your head. It's so easy to forget those things and take them for granted. I mean, just the fact that, you know, we got safe drinking water is something I try not to overlook. So anyway, whatever you feel you need to celebrate right now, you know, of course, in your business, if you're making progress, just let us know. Capital W in the chat area. Don't be shy. Nobody's gonna pick on you. Michael says, sending out 8 to 10 warm emails a week. Excellent. Trying to ramp up to 20 a week and roof overhead, great family, financially secure, et cetera. That's awesome. There you go, Michael. Ann says, catching up with all these execution plans now that I'm laid off from both my jobs. Thanks for extending access to those through the end of the month. Yeah, absolutely. That's great. And sorry to hear about your jobs. You know, it's going to be a difficult time for a lot of people. At the same time, I think this is going to, you know, kind of that extra time and the ability to just pause. What I'm telling people is, look, use that as an opportunity to think and create more thinking time in your life and come up with new creative solutions and ideas. And I think this is going to force a lot of people to step out of their comfort zone. And go after things they never would have gone after because they didn't need to, and grow. I think we're all going to grow like crazy over the next year if we do those things. Eva says, I signed a new referral client. We are healthy. I'm able to help my church food pantry each week because I'm getting paid. Oh, that's awesome. David says, moving forward nicely with the year of social media content creation for my website. Also had two former clients reach out requesting more work, giving me a chance to test out my productized service for blogs. Yay. All right. Greg says, I posted a note on LinkedIn offering 10 hours a week on Monday. Had 4 hits so far. Perfect. So I'm assuming, Greg, you mean like you had availability to work for 10 hours a week. So that's the way I'm reading it. By the way, one quick note, let's not forget. I mean, I keep in mind that the news you're hearing out there in terms of job losses, it's all about traditionally employed people. The news you're not going to hear, okay, is that guess what? Yes, a lot of companies are pausing, shutting down, taking drastic measures, being very protective and being very reactive instead of proactive. However, there are many, many businesses, in fact, I'd say most businesses, that still need to run and operate and are looking beyond just the next few months. So the work still needs to be done. And even though they may have laid off half of their marketing department or most of their marketing staff, guess what? They need people to get this stuff done. They need freelancers. So I talk about this in the emergency session that I did a couple of weeks ago, but I feel very, very strongly that you're going to start seeing a strong move. In fact, you're already seeing back to people sourcing talent from freelancers. And I don't think we're going to go back to the previous employment levels that we had. I know many of you have seen this. Leading up to this, a lot of companies were hiring staff writers. Hey, you know, we're going to let you go because, you know, we're bringing this in-house. I was hearing more of that over the past year in 2019 than I have in pre-2008. So we had reached a point where companies were just hiring people almost blindly. We're not going back to that for a long, long time. So I think this is good news for all of us. And it's not just me thinking this. I'm already seeing it out there. And there is some news reports, if you look for them, of new opportunities for independent contractors. It's a much more flexible option for companies out there right now. Okay, so Patricia says, moving forward with things I put on the back burner, LinkedIn 321, creating a list, planning to send a warm email. Love it. Chuck says, I think I finally have my LinkedIn profile set up. It took me 5 months. Hey, you got it. I'd love some feedback on it, though. Absolutely, and we're happy to give you that, Chuck. So if you'd like to, just let us know here in the Q&A portion, and we can do kind of a live critique. Greg says, where can I learn about LinkedIn 321? Yeah, so I can point you to it, Greg, here in a few minutes. I strongly recommend that it's become something that, man, Susan, you've created a monster with LinkedIn 321. Okay, that's all I got to say.
Yay.
Yeah, it's that's Susan's brainchild. It's a very simple concept, a very, very powerful process.
I'll go get that link, Ed, for the
thank the you trade. Yeah, perfect. All right, so here's what we're going to do. We're going to skip the projects. I want to get straight to Q&A because I know a lot of you are going to want to ask some questions, get some feedback, bounce ideas off of us. We're both here obviously today. This is our last call in the program, and we're here to help you with whatever you need. You know the drill. If you got a question, type capital Q in the chat area and just give us an idea what you got. You don't have to type in the whole question because, as you know, we'll bring you in. We'll have a conversation. The rules are pretty straightforward. The biggest thing is just to keep your question focused and specific, and then one question per person. We'll have time to go through a couple of rounds, but I want to give everyone an opportunity to ask away in case anyone has to leave. So anyway, just we're ready when you are. Just make sure to put a Q in front of it so we that's how we kind of search for it, make sure it's not a comment or a discussion that you guys are having, and we just go straight to those. So Patricia has a question. I just got the free version of Sales Navigator. I need help on connecting with prospects, though. I see save, but not connect. Yeah. All right. So let me bring you in. And Susan, I'm gonna put you on the spot here because I know you've played around with that version too. And hello, Patricia. Oh, you were unmuted, and then you... There you go.
Okay.
There you go. You're on. Hello.
Hi. I'm also on my phone, so I'm trying to mute myself.
Oh, okay. Hold on. Let me, are you a 403 area code?
Yes, I am.
All right. So let me mute you there. Just don't do anything. I'll do it on my end. Okay. Hold on. Hey, Patricia.
Can you hear me now?
Oh, yeah. Much better. Okay, I can hear you.
Yeah, so I'm just playing around with it. So there, it's
the Sales Navigator, and then there's normal LinkedIn. And so when I go into Sales Navigator, I see a different view. And so when I look at all the different people that I would be interested in connecting with, it just says save. It doesn't say where I can connect with them. So I'm having a bit of...
It is confusing. Susan, do you want to let her know about the difference there and it, kind of the approach that Sales Navigator takes?
Yeah, so Sales Navigator, I don't have a ton of experience with it, but the way that it works is really a, excuse me, like a CRM tool. So it's really designed to build lists. So you're looking to build lead lists, right? People that you want to connect with. The best place to go to actually connect with them is to click on their profile and connect with them right on their profile. And it gives you the opportunity to do that little bit of looking at the profile, learning a little bit about them, and then reaching out with a really meaningful connection request, something that shows that you put some time and effort into it. Is that something that you can see from your saved, you know, as you save and then you go back and look at the list? Is it, I assume you'd be able to click on each individual?
Yeah. So let me just, I have a leads list. See, I didn't, because I didn't realize what I was doing. When it asked me to do like the free premium,
yes,
this is what I chose, as opposed to what else should I have saved or should I have done?
So there's premium and then there's Sales Navigator, which the Sales Navigator is like the top end of the spectrum. And then there's also, there's one for recruiters, if you were a human resources recruiter or something like that, which you wouldn't be interested in. But the Sales Navigator one has a whole lot of bells and whistles. I think it's a good idea that you chose that as a free option because you want to spend a little bit of time. Hopefully you have a little extra time right now. Is play around in there. Take a tutorial or two on LinkedIn and really get to know it to decide whether or not it's the right tool for you. Because I don't use Sales Navigator and I actually never have. I use Premium. So that's the, I think it's $60 a month or something like that. It just gives me a lot more, you know, I can search, I can do that. Because I don't have my lead lists are not super long. So I don't have like hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people. I have a smaller, you know, because of the work that I do. So it's a little bit different, but you might find Sales Navigator to be a great tool for you. So I'd encourage you to play around with it.
Okay. Cause I would just, I went in and I clicked on premium and it asked me what I wanted to do. And really I wanted to build a list, but I don't need hundreds and hundreds of people. I just want quality leads. So I'm
absolutely
kind of confused as to what I should be doing. So, okay. So, I have this saved list and so I'll just go in and see if it'll allow me to go into their profile. Okay.
Exactly.
All right.
And connect from there. You're welcome.
Okay. Perfect. Thanks.
And I wanted to just let everybody know that I posted the link to the 3-2-1 formula in the chat. So that's
perfect. So Greg, you'll see it there. It looks like it's coming from me, but it's really Susan. cool. Yeah, I've tried Sales Navigator a couple of times, and I always came back to Premium, to Business Premium. It was a bit much what I needed. I liked the concept, but I tell you, if you said it, Susan, if you got it, and especially if you're doing the trial, take some tutorials, look around, and learn it a little bit, and because it's not as intuitive.
No,
is some other things I found. So, yeah, it could be a great tool, but I found it to be a bit much. I didn't want to turn it into a CRM, but that's just me.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Okay. Okay. Chuck says, I'm not sure if you meant I should post a link to my. Oh yeah, yeah. So Chuck. Chuck Warren wanted to see if we could do a review of his LinkedIn profile. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to put it up on a browser window, and I'm going to share it here so you know we can all look at it live. Okay, so let me see. Yeah, and don't look at all my ridiculous number of notifications. I'm so behind on LinkedIn. All right. So this is, can you see it, Susan?
I can, yes.
Okay. Chuck Warren, technology copywriter and content creator. So, okay.
So I can dive in and just make a couple of suggestions.
Perfect.
So in the top, Chuck, where you have your name, just under it is your headline. And your name doesn't need to be in there a second time because it's already, you know, shows up as your name. What I would recommend, oops.
Sorry.
Where'd you go? Okay. What I would recommend is to use the headline for a couple different things. If you look at the way Ed has his, actually his profile, it's great because he basically talks about who he's, who his target audience is and what he does for them. And so I like the way that he has that structured. And I think that's a good template to follow is, you know, business coach and strategist for ambitious freelance writers and copywriters, period. You know exactly what he does and exactly who he does it for. And that's a really good formula or format to follow for yours. So I would cut down. And his is a nice length that's not too long, but you know, just be careful not to get too wordy. You want to keep it as keywords as much as possible, so keyword focused. So you want to include, and I don't remember exactly what yours said, but it was, you know, I think you had content.
Yeah, let's go back to that.
Yeah, and technology.
Well, you know what?
Right there.
I'm going to keep them. Yeah, here you go.
So you might be, Chuck, focusing on, and I'm not 100% sure, but maybe you're focusing on a particular segment of the technology industry. And that's a big, you know, it could be software, it could be hardware, it could be all kinds of things under that technology umbrella. So maybe put in a word or two about technology copywriter, content creator for X, you know, types of companies. And those are all keywords. So when someone's searching, even on Google, to find a technology copywriter, your LinkedIn profile will come up in the Google search results or any search results. So that's just a one minor change. And then if you would open up the about, so I can just see
yep.
more of that.
Well, I did want to point out something before I expand, because yep. this is very important. Notice that most of your about area is going to be above the fold, right? So you have limited real estate that shows up by default, and then the rest somebody would have to click. So one thing, and I don't know if you're going to touch on this, but I wanted to make sure that you have your best stuff right on top.
Absolutely.
So, you know, you kind of gave them a glimpse, you know, technology copywriter and content creator. And I agree with Susan, like if you have something or two or three areas of expertise, put them here. Like I would do, and don't worry about making it flow. Like I would do like a dash or a break and say cybersecurity, cloud computing, and, you know,
you
something
go.
Else.
Yeah.
SaaS. And then that way, because those are great keywords, right? And those are very specific, and there's a good chance that somebody might even be looking for that, not just technology. Then the other thing I would say is here, make sure that you tell them right away, I help these types of companies do this, that, and the other, okay? And then you can get into, you know, the problem is your written content creates your first impression. And if you don't have it right, then yada, yada, yada. That's where I come in. So it's kind of a little different from it. It follows the homepage copy structure that I recommend on your website, except it does something extra. And at the very top, it tells them right away what it is you do and whom you help. And then you have the room to do the rest. Okay. Sorry, I just got distracted. Axl Rose is a third degree connection. So, you know, that's my win of the week, I guess. So let's expand this. So like this stuff was hidden, right? So I would have put that in the, I help these types of organizations. And then that's, you put the specificity there, do or write da 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 da.
Yep. And I would even put in, I help them create authentic, credible content that builds long-lasting relationships with their B2B and B2C customers. So take
Perfect.
Some of yep. what you've already written and just kind of, you know, edit that a little bit and say, hey, you know, same kind of thing. You want to just a nod to their what their pain points are, or what their current challenges are. It's how to be relevant in out there, and how to make, again, authentic, credible content that builds relationships. That's the bottom line for them. And then I really like the fact that you have this lots of white space and spaced out. So it's not big blocks of content and big long paragraphs. People are skimmers and scanners, especially on social media. They're whipping through here quick. They just want to get a sense of, and there'll be certain words that I find that catch a person's eye. So if I'm particularly interested in NAS and SAN storage solutions, my eyes will automatically go right to those acronyms, because I know what they are and they mean something to me, and that very possibly could stand out. The fact that you've put them in a list like this makes it even easier for me to skim through and go, oh, he knows about that. That's, you know, boom, that's exactly what I'm looking for. How do I get in touch with this person? So that's a good idea. And then I'm just, give me just a minute here, and Ed, if you have any other thoughts, but let me just.
Yeah, I love this. I love this part. I know your clients and vendors because I've been your client and your vendor. That's really powerful. So it's kind of like a 1-2 punch. You give them the technologies that you know well, that you've worked with, and then you provide, okay, what does that mean? That's a so what part of the positioning, right?
Right. Yep. And I like, so you've used a lot of the same approach that you did probably on your website, you know, as a 20-year veteran up at the top. I've worked as a network administrator. So you're explaining your background. And I like that. So, and it's short. It's not, you know, again, 7 or 8 sentences. It's 2 sentences. Here's what I've done. And that should be a really good attention getter for them. Including creative. Yeah, I like it. And I like that you've also at the bottom, those last couple of sentences are all spaced out with plenty of white space in between. Again, making it easier on the eyeballs, really. It's just easier to read. I can, again, kind of skim through and pick out words that mean something to me that might make me slow down and actually read the whole sentence. And that's good. That's exactly what we're looking for.
Yeah, I agree. I love that I've seen so many of these about areas so crammed. Mm-hmm. It's painful when you see a wall of text that's all together.
Forget it.
Like, that's the last thing I want to read.
No,
you know, so well done. I would say, you know, one other thing you may want to look at is, this is just, you know, kind of an ongoing thing. I would start increasing.
Yeah, these. Definitely.
So getting, especially if you use LinkedIn 321, that builds in that connection request into the process, but you know, get doubling that over the next couple of months, month or two, it will expand your network geometrically.
Yeah.
It just makes a massive difference.
Yep. And
in terms of where you show up in search results, even.
Exactly. Because you want to show up in the right, so the industry that you're looking to, that you're calling on, you want to make sure you end up in their search results, everyone in that industry. So you really want to start focusing on growing your connections in the industry that you're focused on, so that as people are using LinkedIn to search, that you're going to come up in their results and higher up in their results. So you definitely want to focus on, and the 3-2-1 training talks, I think even a little bit about that is this, you know, who it's more of a strategic connection. You might even find somebody who is maybe their second level connection. But you realize, gosh, you know, they might not be in the industry directly, but maybe they're connected. Maybe they're doing business with that industry as well. So maybe it's someone that you're not competing against. It's not a competitor, but it's someone who's also calling on the same set of target audience, the same target audience that you are. So you want to be thinking that one over. So maybe it's a CPA or an attorney or, you know, someone who's doing very different work from you, but calling on the same people. Really, really powerful to start connecting with attorneys that are specialists in SAS, if that's something that you're focused on, or those types of things. There's intellectual property and attorneys that are going to specialize in technology as well. So that would be a great thing for you to go out and say, hey, I'd love to connect with you and start building those relationships online.
Yeah, perfect. And he said that his hang up, he knows he needs to make the connections. His hang up is the niche thing has really held him back. Now that he's realize that, you know, tech is going to be where he's going to focus. So now he's got something very focused to go after.
Great.
Yeah, makes sense. Awesome. Good stuff. Good stuff, Chuck. These are all easy changes. That's the good news.
Yeah, quick and simple.
Yeah. All right. Let me see if I can find my chat area. Here we go. All right. Let's go back to. Oh, did I miss? Okay. Michael, how can I get feedback on my warm emails? Do you guys have a thread for that, or should I just do it through Facebook? Want to know if there's any way I can improve them. Also need a strategy for finding fintech prospects. So, Michael, probably the best thing, let's do this. It's up to you. So we're doing one question right now per person. I can, you know, we can address the warm email if you have one ready that you don't want to maybe post in the chat. That would be an easy way, or you can post it in the Facebook group. Anything like that, just in the current week's Q&A thread, that's the best way, okay? So let me bring you in, though, and we can talk about the fintech. So let me find you here. Hey, Michael.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, good. Yeah, so it's up to you, okay? Just let us know what you'd prefer on that.
Okay, yeah, I'll probably post on the Facebook thread.
Perfect. So you want to talk about the other part, strategy for finding fintech prospects?
Yeah, let me tell you what I have been doing. What I have been doing is mainly just I'll go city by city and find fintech companies in LA, in Seattle, in Portland, in, you know, Austin, you know, that kind of thing. And usually I'll get like some of the, you know, more of the tech hub places, I'll get a built-in list, you know, like built-in LA, built-in, you know, Colorado, whatever it is. And they'll give me like a good list of all the fintech companies in there. But there's only so many of those built-in lists. And, you know, I'm kind of trying to find, like, you know, since I'm newer, I want to find some smaller companies, like, you know, that have like less than 100 employees, founded within last 5 years, something like that. So I know it's like sort of like a multi-part question, but I just like, well, what's like a good strategy for, is my strategy okay? And are there other strategies for finding, you know, looking more wider ranging for fintech prospects all over the country?
Yeah, so if you think you're on track in that you don't, you know, one of the hardest things when it comes to defining prospects is where do I even start? Because we're talking about with fintech hundreds of thousands potentially of companies, or at least tens of thousands. So it's overwhelming. So you're not really sure where to start. So either don't do anything or you go about it the wrong way. The best way to do it is kind of what you've been doing, which is looking for compiled lists. Somebody who's made it easier for you in, like, you know, if this is like the universe of potential prospects, they've kind of they've said, well, you know, here's look at these for whatever reason, right? And you know, are these the best? We don't know, but it at least makes it easier. It gives you something to look at, right? Somebody to pursue. Are there others? Yes, absolutely. But the other approach of just randomly contacting them was not great. Now, so that's the first step, is looking for compiled lists. The second step, though, and I think this is maybe where I might be able to help get you a better list, is look for compiled lists that were compiled based on good criteria that increases your probability of getting wins. So, for instance, location, so fintech companies in Denver or in Colorado, that doesn't tell me that much about the probability that these are good prospects. But fintech companies to watch in 2020, If I do that search and I find a publication that is made that kind of compilation, and it's just an analyst or, you know, a, some kind of industry insider who's saying, hey, I've done my research and I know the market and I'm an insider and these are companies to watch. And you have to agree that there's been some thinking behind it other than geography. Geography doesn't really tell you much, but if they're companies to watch, that would tell me that these are companies that are growing, doing well, they got something going for them, et cetera. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does make sense.
So rather than going with geography, go by, you know, strategically compiled.
But I sort of figure with the built-in list, I sort of figure that if they're doing a built-in as a list of, like, you know, these fintech companies in this city, it's probably their, you know, strategic compilation of companies that are there to watch. I mean, is that a good assumption?
I don't know if I'd make that assumption. And I'm not saying that you're not going to get results there. I'm just saying, look, we don't know. But if it were me and I got limited time to get this done and I want to get results as quickly as possible, I'm going to stack the deck as best as I can. Right? So let's just say, let me put it to you this way. If you have to land a prospect, meaning somebody who responded and said, I'm interested in talking by this time next week. And if you don't, you're going to be executed. which list would you go with? The one I described or the one that you know, like the Colorado one?
Yeah. My concern with the one with those ones to watch is like, those might be such top companies that they're looking for someone, you know, more experienced than me. I don't know if I'm.
So that's an assumption that I wouldn't necessarily buy into, number one.
Okay.
You got to be careful with the assumptions you make.
Okay.
Number one. Number two is, let's just say there's 50 companies in there. Sure. Let's just say there are 25 in there that you look at them and go, I hear what Ed is saying, but I just cannot. I just can't build up the courage to go after these 25. Okay, fine. Look at the other 25 and go after those.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't forego the whole list just because some in there you think are above your pay grade right now.
Yeah.
And then we can go deeper and take it one step further and say, I would even question that assumption. You know, so don't think too much about who would want what and what you're qualified. Let me tell you something. I'm coaching people at the six-figure level who still have that fear. I'm not good enough. I'm not experienced enough. And you look at their resume, their education, their experience, their background, and you go, what? Are you crazy? What's wrong with it? This whole thing is relative. So be very, very careful about what assumptions you make, because you just never know. You never know. And here's the other thing I'll tell you. What is the risk that you take going after, you know, one of the top players? The risk is they'll say no or they won't answer. Believe me, they don't have a bulletin board in their break room with a blacklist of people that their marketing department needs to ban forever and never, you know, accept a warm email from ever again.
Right.
They're not tracking this. You know what I'm saying? So Let's just say that the worst thing that can happen might be, you know, I appreciate it, but we're looking for somebody with more experience. And you just say, hey, I respect that. Thank you for considering me. What would stop you from a year later or 6 months later when you do have that experience reaching out to them again? Do you really think they're going to remember you? And I don't mean this in a negative way. I'm just saying, like, these are very busy people. They're not. I mean, they're trying to deal with this COVID-19 crisis right now. So, yeah, I wouldn't. I know you probably didn't want to go there, but I do want to clarify that assumption because it is a dangerous assumption.
Yeah. No, thank you. That's very, very helpful. Thank you.
Yeah. So that's one of them, by the way, the strategically compiled in terms of publications. Another one would be analysts. So analysts that cover fintech and different sectors of fintech, look to see who they're writing up, who they're writing articles about. Many analysts, like, you know, Gartner. Are you familiar with Gartner?
No.
All right. So Gartner is a big analyst in tech, and they have this thing called the Magic Quadrant. And basically, I forget what the X and Y axes are, but this is the Magic Quadrant right here. And they put companies in it's like a scattergram. And each quadrant means something, but the companies that fall into this quadrant, they call it the magic quadrant. They have two big things going for them. And then I believe these are companies that are, you know, moving in this direction. And you can see the tracking, you know, like some companies used to be here before, now they're here. So you could go after those in the magic quadrant, or you could say, you know what, the next best one is this one. I'm going to go for now. I'm just going to look at these. So anyway, there are a lot of analysts that do a lot of this research. They write articles about it. A lot of the stuff is easily accessible. And then the third category would be in industry associations. Okay, so many times it's not as easy to get a hold of their member list if you're not a member, but you can look through their articles. Many of them are written by members. You can look at their latest conference or upcoming conference and look to see who's going to be exhibiting, presenting, etc. All those are great people, because again, if we think about the strategic criteria for being on that list or being on that website or whatever, it all points to people and organizations that want to get coverage, that are investing in marketing and in PR, et cetera, which bodes well for a writer. See what I'm saying?
I do. That makes a lot of sense. Thank you.
Yeah. So did that help, by the way? You think you get a better idea of how to go about it?
It helped massively. Yeah. Just what you said about looking industry associations and analysts, that's huge. And like, yeah, not limiting myself. Thank you very much. It's very helpful.
So there's the perfect. Yeah. One, two, and then the three associations.
Yep. And the really cool thing I'm going to just add on to what you just said, Ed, is that if you find an article that someone has written in one of those, or let's say you look at the analysts and you're seeing them highlighting particular companies, you can use that in your LinkedIn invite, whether they've written the article themselves or they were written up by an analyst. Hey, just wanted to let you know, I saw the article you wrote, really enjoyed X, Y, and Z about what you said, would love to connect with you. So it gives you, you're doing double duty. You're finding the right person or the right people to reach out to and connect with, the right companies, but then it's also giving you that information that you need to make a really powerful connection request on LinkedIn.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Yeah. Great point. Okay, let's see. We have a question from Eva. She says, I noticed over the past month, one of my ongoing clients is playing with my scope of work and creeping into more projects. I've been doing a main project swap, as I haven't been writing the main project, but they have asked me to write other things as an exchange. That was fine, but now they're asking for me to write additional social media posts instead of using the same posts across platforms. I need help in writing a respectful outside the scope email that won't get me fired. Does anyone have a nice statement that won't be pushing back too much? Yeah, it's funny. That same question came up yesterday in another group that I lead. Let me bring you in, Eva. Hey, Eva.
Hi.
Hello. You got to admit that part of your stress is from, you know, being locked in. Right.
Oh yeah, 100%. Being locked in, and I have three kids under the age of 12 at home. So, you know, life is massively chaotic right now.
Yeah, I hear you. So here's what I like to do first in these situations is, you know, it's like the main thing, they haven't needed it. So you agreed to do some other things in return. And that seemed mm-hmm. to have worked, right? That was mm-hmm. fine. But now what I'm hearing is they're asking for other things. So now they're looking for other things to exchange that block of value that they're paying you. That when you add it up, it's not equivalent to the initial agreement. Is that the net of it?
Yeah, originally I was going to use, to start over, basically, that's the net of it. He was okay with what I was doing, and now he's like, oh, well, instead of doing this one piece, can you do this? for that one part of it. And I'm like, well, let me see what that looks like. So I've been doing it this week as kind of my test, but it is taking, it's basically doubling my work for that section. And I'm like, yeah, no, I can't do this long term. And I'm not charging them enough to make that be comfortable for me. So I need to say something nice, and I'm just not real great at like saying it nice when I'm already kind of like on edge. So.
Yeah. All right. So let me, and I'd love Susan's take on this. Susan, don't follow my lead if you have a different version of this, but I'm a big believer in when these things come up in getting on the phone. Not everyone is a fan of that, but the reason I like it is that it's very easy for your message to get lost in translation over email or private message or whatever. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like, hey, we need to talk about this. Are you available sometime tomorrow afternoon? And the approach I like to take and during the conversation is always one of gratitude. So I start with gratitude. Like, hey, listen, I want to, first of all, thank you, for being a great client. I really enjoy working with you, something along those lines. Mm-hmm. I wanted to bring your attention to, the situation, right? And I agreed to substitute this other thing, which was fine, but now it's the renewed request or the updated request that you're making, it's much more work. The value of that is higher. It's not comparable to what we had originally contracted me to do. In fact, it's about twice as much. Now, I'm happy to be flexible here. So here's what I can do. But I can't swap, that thing for these three things, or however you want to word it, right? Mm-hmm. So it's you thank them, you always start on a good note. You tell them, hey, we did this, happy to do it. And even when you this new request, which is much greater scope, I agreed to just take it on and I want to help you, but this is considerably more. But instead of saying I can't do it, notice what I did there and said, here's what I can do. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to explain it to you. And I try not to end with that. Is that okay? Because right. You're basically saying, I don't know, I'm putting this out there, but I'm not confident enough. And I just want to make sure you're not going to be too mad, because maybe if you are too mad, then I'll comply. So it's got to be a very confident but calm. Mm-hmm. I can't, this is twice as much. Here's what I can do. And then you're showing them that it's still more, but that you value them. And then I would cap it off with something like, I wanted to present that idea to you, to see if that's something we can work out.
Okay. That sounds good.
And one thing I would add, and so Ed, you stole mine, because I said I was going to say the same thing, is definitely set up a phone call. But one way that might make this even easier for all parties involved is to come up with an option A and an option B. Say, okay, so here's what I've been doing. We asked me to switch.
Yes.
I'm seeing that, this is really starting to get to be a lot more demanding for me than I anticipated when I first agreed. So I came up with a couple of ideas. Here's a couple different ways we could work together moving forward. We could stick with what we're doing and I could go back to this, or we could change it to that. Or here's the third one, mm-hmm. let's kind of lay. And so which one do you think makes sense for you? Mm-hmm. Right. So you're not saying, what do you think? You're saying, which one makes the most sense for you right now? Mm-hmm. So they're not painted into a corner of saying, oh, geez, I don't know. If you don't give them a choice, it makes it uncomfortable for everybody. And I'd rather you say, all right, look, so I came up with a couple ideas. I want to run them by you, see which one you think makes the most sense. Mm-hmm. And here's the some of the details.
Okay. Yeah, I think I like that better. I think to give you a little bit, they're in Panama, which and they're very Latin American. So they're very, I mean, he's almost like apologetic to me half the time just in talking, which is very strange because I'm not a rude person and I don't like ever really, I don't know. It's just a very strange, different like cultural thing.
Yes.
And, you know, so I really have to be careful because I don't want to come off as being rude or expecting more because of the, how they already are. So I think an option piece like this would be better rather than me just, I mean, I kind of wanted to just put it out there, but I honestly do feel like if I just say, this is what I'm doing, this is where you're pushing it, what do you think we should do? It would be like, you know, pushing their rude button. And
yeah,
I think the option piece would definitely be better.
And you definitely want to give them an opportunity to say, you know, what do you think of these options? Is there another version of this that you think makes sense? Let's talk about what version makes sense for both of us. Mm-hmm. So they might look at it and go, oh, I like A, but could we add this to it? Yeah. Okay. So, and here's the new pricing. Let me get back to you on the pricing or whatever. But, you know, it gives them a chance to, for you to collaborate on a solution as opposed to saying, well, can't do this. Here's the way we're working. You know, we don't want to be that strong. And I absolutely understand. Plus it shows them that you're being a consultant almost still, you know, you're going back to that strategist and consultant. As I'm thinking about your business, I've been thinking about it. I've been thinking about ways to work, you know, to make sure that this works for both of us. Here's some ideas. Here's some options that I came up with. So you're really, let's kind of, you know, sit down at the table and work through these together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I mean, I know they'd be open to it. I talk to them probably 2 or 3 times a week anyway. So it's just a matter of, you know, bringing up my issues this time.
Mm-hmm. Which is perfectly acceptable, by the way. There's nothing wrong with that. So don't feel bad about it.
So this is your original scope. You're saying, hey, the first time it was about the same. But then now they're proposing something bigger. Mm-hmm. So we're talking about, in terms of size, notice these are about equal to the original scope. The brilliance in what Susan is suggesting is there's some psychology behind that. When you say A or B, you're implying, look, you got to pick one or the other.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So automatically, you know what that means. This is out. Mm-hmm. And guess what? Doing nothing is also out. That's also the same psychology between and inside offering 3 different options.
Correct.
With some of your and some of your agreements. So option A, B, and C instead of one option.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Good, better, best. The psychology behind that, there's 2 things going on there. One is anchoring your pricing. We don't have to get into that here. But the other is you're not saying, do you want to do this or not? You're saying, which one of these do you want?
Okay.
So automatically, it's a very ethical way of trying to get people to just stick to something and say yes and just leave no out of it.
Yep.
Okay. Awesome. Okay. That'll work good.
Cool.
Thank you.
Good luck. You bet. It'd be funny if they said, all right, tell you what if we do A and B and then we fly you and your family to Panama for a week when this is all over.
Sounds like a plan.
Man. All right. So Anne has a question here. She says, one of my clients is a metal manufacturer and they are currently closed due to COVID. I think it would be a good idea if he continued to do some marketing at this time, perhaps email info for his current clients and maybe an email outreach campaign. What do you think of this idea? Should I advise him to be even more aggressive in marketing at this time? Yeah, let me bring you in. Not letting me unmute her. Hey, Anne, can you try unmuting yourself on your end and see if that works? Here we go. I think you're on. Hello.
Hi, how are you, Anne?
Hey, good. Good. So, they've just shut down, huh? And are they, I mean, were they doing something with you and they've just put everything on hold?
Yeah, and basically I was helping them with their branding plan because they really need everything. And so I started with the branding plan. I have that left with them. And I'm trying to encourage them to finish that while they don't have a lot to do right now. And then we should get on to maybe doing some email marketing with their current clients. Like their current clients are HVAC, a lot of HVAC people.
Yep.
So why not help those businesses by saying, okay, here's what you can do to, you know, with this COVID thing or anything, just to sort of stay in touch with their current clients and maybe outreach, do a little outreach so they look a little stronger when they come out of all this.
Yeah, absolutely. It's first of all, yes, you should absolutely bring this up. You know, I would go into these things with an attitude of, you know, I'm going to help my clients make better decisions and do that by offering some ideas instead of saying, hey, don't cancel this. Actually come to them with some ideas or justification why now is actually a good time to, you know, to do this project and some new ideas of things they can do and explain why. Definitely, but also understand that some clients are going to be so freaked out or so reactive that you're not going to be able to convince them. But I think you should try. You know, you should try to make your best case. It's worth it. There is a there's some good stuff on this right now that I would consider using either in my argument or sending to them. I just read an article. I think it was in, it wasn't Adweek. Anyway, it was, and it had some good empirical data about, and this has happened several times in these major recessions, all these companies that decided to double down with their marketing in during these really hard times, and they came out of it so much stronger. They were way ahead of their competition, which retrenched. And it's been documented over and over again, this has happened. The natural reaction for many businesses is to cut everything. And marketing is one of the first things those kind of businesses cut because they look at it as an expense. But smart competitors know two things. First of all, when their others cut, their competitors cut the expenses and they maintain their marketing, they're going to come out ahead. And this article shows some percentages. And I'm going to look for the link and include it here in the chat area. If they don't just maintain, but they actually increase it, even better, like the results are even more drastic. So yeah, I would make the case and explain it and make sure it comes across as you helping them, not selfishly, I want to keep your business, I don't want to lose revenue, and just see what happens. But if you come to them with ideas in give them really good stuff, I think that's going to be your best chance.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree in terms of coming with ideas. So you might look at things like updates on what the industry's doing, you know, what's going on in the industry, how are other companies dealing with it, or going back to the archives and looking at some of our favorite projects from 2019, this customer did this major project and look at how beautiful it turned out, you know, maybe showcasing some of their own clients and talking that up and like, you know what, we're looking forward to, you know, we see, you know, a lot of great, you know, just, or even just some of our favorite projects over the years or something like that. And just come up with a couple different ideas that are creative and non-salesy. As non-salesy as possible, just really more, hey, you know, we want to keep in touch because there's some changes we may anticipate, not sure when we're going to open yet, but we're hoping by, you know, we're going to see how things go or what we're doing. You know, there's lots of different things that they can communicate during this time that I think would just be keep them top of mind in front of their list. I think that's a great idea.
And I have a follow-up then. During this COVID thing, I think that maybe Susan, you just answered it. It makes sure that everything's non-salesy. Is that how you'd market during this time?
Well, that's a good question. I think that it really, and my Ed, our favorite answer, right, is it depends. In my mind, it depends on the industry. It depends on who their clients are. how badly are they impacted by what's going on? So some industries right now are cranking, right? Some businesses can't, you know, I know there's a business up here near me that switched to, they pivoted and they were able to start doing the face shields. And they just hired like 20 more people, you know, so they're in a different place mentally, right? They're scrambling to try and find people to come to work and make these things because the demand is so high. So every industry is different right now. So I think you'd have to take a look at who is this client's audience, what are they experiencing, and then match the messaging to what the bulk of their clients might be experiencing. If they need, a little encouragement, maybe their customer base is feeling pretty, you know, desperate right now. So you want to send out emails that are like, hey, you know, let's look back, or let's, you know, something that's a little more on the encouraging side as opposed to all about sales. You know, is there any way that they're doing business right now? Are they doing any pickup opportunities? You know, can someone go and pick up product from them, or are they still delivering? Some companies are still delivering. They want to be talking about that, maybe talking about some of the things that they're working on right now. But just be mindful, you know, it's got really to do with their audience and what their audience is experiencing and what they'll connect with. And that's not new, by the way. That's not a new concept. That's what marketing is all about, is understanding your audience's pain points and what they'll connect with. So you're just kind of ratcheting that up a notch or two based on this whole COVID thing. It's like, you know, are these people really desperate and struggling in my, you know, in my client base, or are they, would they be in a place where they might be thinking about new projects, and what kinds of things they could be doing that they would need our product for?
Okay.
Yeah, it's all about matching the current reality. So it's not so that their offers, I mean, if we're talking about their marketing to their customers, so that what they're offering, what they're talking about, the content they're putting out there, matches the current reality, is not tone deaf, you know. So many times that is offering advice, like creative ideas, maybe case studies or examples of what others are doing, you know. So right now, providing inspiration and ideas is a great thing. You can add a lot of value that way. Is part of those ideas were kind of self-serving in that they would create a demand for, you know, some of their products. There's many ways. I tend to stay away from the word salesy, because that implies sleazy, not needed, out of touch, self-serving. Where what you want, I mean, good marketing and selling is all about, matching the current need.
Okay. Thanks, Ed. Thanks, Susan. And thanks for doing these calls in this program. Thanks.
Absolutely. And by the way, I just posted the link to that article, which is just, it's really interesting stuff. It's in, what was it? It's in one of the publications, but this is somebody, it's a paid, it's gated content, but I think it's the author's blog, or some other publication republished it, and the whole text is there on this website, but it originally appeared in Marketing Week or somewhere like that.
Okay, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
And one thing I noticed, actually, I happened to be watching TV, which I don't do a lot, but I happened to have it on the other night, and I was noticing, and it's along the same line, is that there were ads for, if you look, you're paying attention to the advertising on TV, it's fascinating how it's changed and the tone has changed. There was an ad for Target. There was an ad for Walmart. I can't remember who else, but they've all changed their tone to exactly what we were just talking about, is that, so they're assuming that the audience is probably pulling their hair out, right? Everybody's locked in at home. Some people have lost their jobs. This is a difficult time for a lot of people in their audience in the nation. So they've really softened their tone. Walmart has a series of video clips edited together that are different associates from around the country singing a song, and I'm drawing a blank on the song right this minute, but it's a beautiful older song about supporting one another. I think it's Lean On Me When You're Not Strong. That's the song. And so it's like a series of like five or six clips of different And they're just, you can tell that the clips of the people singing are selfies, right? They've just been videoing themselves. But Walmart strung them together, all singing different pieces of this same song. And then that's the ad. That's the ad. We're here for you. And it closes with just a static screen Walmart logo. We're here for you, or something like that. Beautiful, right? Really gets your attention. Like, isn't that cool? You know, it's just, so they're really changing their approach. Same thing. Target did something very similar, showing lots of people in different situations. Same thing. We're here for you. We're supporting you. So pay attention to those kinds of things. Go and Google them. You should be able to find the ads, I would think. But it would just be really interesting to see how some of the major players are just changing their approach a little bit in this, to meet the current situation.
Absolutely. Another thing that I'm seeing, and that we can copy, I love some of the best ideas come from other industries, because I think when everyone's doing the same thing in an industry, it's hard to innovate. But if you see something from a totally different business and extrapolate the core ideas into the target market that you work in, it can be really, really powerful. So one of I'm seeing a lot of innovation in the restaurant industry right now. With restaurants they're definitely closed for in dining, you know, dining room, but they're doing curbside pickup and they're doing delivery. But it's not just that. They're having to repackage. They're having to create new offers in order to match the current situation and environment. So I'm seeing, for instance, family meals. Instead of just the regular menu, now they may still have the regular menu, but they do a daily offer. Like, there's a barbecue place around here. Every day they have a different family menu, and it's a package and a bundle for four people. And it's like the main dish, and then there's a vegetable, and then another side, and then there's a gallon of iced tea, you know, and for a flat fee. So they're recognizing that people right now don't have the time. The decision fatigue involved in picking from a menu is too much. But if you just say, look, we got this today, what do you think? Hey, you know what? That sounds like a great idea. We'll go with that. So anyway, lots of different ways. So going back to the metal manufacturer, hey, maybe they're selling it, and I'm just making this up, this way. That's the way they've always sold some of their core products. You know, what if there is a more trim down offering or some kind of bundle, or maybe showing their customers, hey, because we know that business has slowed down, however, schools are taking this opportunity to now service their HVAC systems or fix some of the things that they couldn't fix before because school was in session, the need has changed. Therefore, based on that, we're trying to reverse engineer it and figure out, okay, what can we offer or how can we package this in a way that matches what our customers are doing right now? Anyway, I don't know about the school thing. I just made that up as an example. But it's really paying attention and offering ideas. And you, as the writer, can now suddenly elevate yourself beyond just an order taker and a writer, and can now offer these ideas. And now they start seeing you a little differently. Now they start seeing you as a trusted advisor, an indispensable resource, instead of just, well, she's a writer, and right now we don't need any writing, therefore we don't need her. Good stuff. All right, Leslie had a question here. She says, I would like to do case studies for the architecture, engineering, construction industry, but few are doing them. Hinge Marketing, a professional services firm, promotes them. I'm thinking of asking the existing client if I could do a case study at a low cost to get a sample. Would it be worth it to develop a lead magnet explaining the value of case studies, or should I find an alternative? Let's talk. Hey, Leslie.
Hello there.
Hello there. So you'd like to do them for the AEC industry, but you're finding very, very few AEC firms that are doing them.
Right. Like, I was just researching websites, you know, last night, and, you know, what some of them call case studies are basically project descriptions, not the more standard, you know, where you interview a happy client. So I'd really like to do that. So I'm looking for input on how to go about it.
Gotcha. All right. First, I like to, a couple of ways to think about it. if this is if you're talking about going from zero to actually doing case studies, if somebody's not doing anything, not even, what do you say some of them call them?
Project? That would be like project profiles or project descriptions, where they describe projects. And some might include a testimonial, but it's not the, you know, it's not a standard case study.
Gotcha. Okay. So if we look at it as a spectrum, right? And this project, yeah, I sound Canadian, project profiles or case studies, and then somebody who does zero, like going from here to here is a stretch. Can it be done? Absolutely. But you're spending time and energy trying to convince people to become vegetarians. I mean, and you know, if you've been a meat eater all your life, if you got the resources, great, go for it, you know, but that's going to be a difficult sell. This is going to be a lot easier, taking somebody from that's already doing project profiles and then start the conversation there and show them how they could take project profiles and make them, you know, 10x more valuable. For a minimal investment, you can take something that you're already doing and just, you know, get 10x the value. I think that's a compelling argument and one that I would try first. So one idea would be go after AEC firms that are already doing this and
doing project
and present
profiles.
That idea. Project profiles. Well, first, I mean, I would start, this is the obvious one, right? When you see that they're doing case studies, go after them. Like, oh yeah, but they're already doing them. So I'm sure, no, they're already doing them. You can't assume that they already have a resource. Maybe they've struggled doing this internally, or maybe they used to use somebody and that person is no longer available or whatever, right? So start with where, you know, with the ones who are already doing this. So this would be number one. Number two would be this group.
You know, I can't see your screen for some reason. Is it me or? Well, there we go.
Here. Okay,
there you go.
Yeah, sorry about that. So yeah, this is a spectrum. Those who are doing zero, don't even worry about it because the leap is too much, right? But I would go with the ones who are already writing case studies. That would be your number one choice.
Yeah, unfortunately, I haven't found too many.
But,
okay, sorry, go on.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, even if it's 5%, that's fine.
Okay.
That's just your best bet. And then for the other ones, then, which is the majority, it sounds like, then this is present the idea. Just show it that way, the fact that you could get 10x the value. And then also for both of these, from an attraction marketing standpoint, you know, articles or lead magnet, making that the business case there, you know, on the topic on project profiles to case studies equals 10x or whatever. You see what I'm saying? So that's when it makes sense. I wouldn't just do one or the other. I would go after those who are doing them, the few you find, then really target those who are doing project profiles, because there's a lot of those. And then from let's spread the word out there. Let's get people thinking differently. I would do a couple of articles, do some social media on this, but then write a lead magnet, just making that case.
Okay, so I think like I was looking at your lead magnet training, and you know. So even though they aren't doing it, some are, and I could still focus on it. It's not, I mean, I really believe in it, so it's not, I'm not hitting my head against the wall, right?
Yeah, it is. It is. It's just too hard. It's too hard to do that. So that's why, yeah, I mean, the lead magnet is going to, anyone can see it, but you're writing it. This is a very important distinction. This is why I only included these two in the group. When you write it, you know, you're always supposed to write to a specific audience, right?
Yeah.
Don't try to write for the whole industry. So ignore those, like don't have these people in mind.
Right.
You know, don't say if you've never written one, or if you have, or maybe you do them right now, this is for you. Like, you don't know. Forget about the people who aren't doing it. Okay.
Okay.
Preach to the choir and preach to those who, like to sing and they're not yet in the choir.
Yeah.
You know?
Okay.
Yeah. And your lead magnet, you know, it's really straightforward. It's, make sure it's not self-serving. Just, it should be all about a benefit that they could get. So the title, by the way, should say it all. The title should say, you know, something along the lines of how to get 10x the value out of every project profile you create. You know, something like that, right? Notice that's about them instead of why you should be doing case studies.
Right.
That's a, hey, I'm upset that you're not doing them. You know, I need more business. You should do them.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
The other thing that comes to mind, Leslie, I did some work for a construction firm, a fairly large one, for a while. I was supporting them with some of these types of things. And so they used project profiles. We put them as pages on their website. We had a whole collection of pages. And then they also used them. They like to keep them up to date with pictures and so forth of their projects to include in bids, right, in bid responses. Mm-hmm. So maybe there might be a way to tie. So they already understand what a project profile is. They know a couple different ways to use it. So maybe make some kind of a connection between, okay, so you know, you understand project profiles. Now let's talk about case studies, how they differ, how they're the same as a project profile, but then how they differ and what, and so lead them by telling them, hey, tie these two things together, make a direct connection because they're already so comfortable with a project profile. They get it. You don't have to explain that, right? So now you just connect case studies to project profiles by saying, well, they're similar in this way, but here's a couple different ways you could use them, blah, blah, blah. So you're leading them down a path that's already very familiar before you start talking about, well, what the heck is this? What's a case study? Why do I need it? So just a slightly different way to tie those two together and make it a little more palatable for them.
Okay, good. Well, thanks. So I'll keep on case studies.
Perfect. Yeah. It's one of those few, I mean, if it were something else, we may have a different discussion, but storytelling, it's pretty universal in terms of the benefits.
Yeah.
So I think if there's something that everyone should have is, of course, a website and honestly, case studies. You know, you just can't go wrong with case studies. People are going to care a heck of a lot more about what somebody else has to say. And if you have the story, and especially if it's the before and after story, that's really, really powerful. Cool. Patricia says, you say project, we say project. Yes. So, you know, half my team, Patricia, I don't know if you know, they're Canadians. So it's funny because they start talking like an American because they, you know, we talk so much as a team and they hear me and the other American team members. And then I say niche instead of niche. And so it's funny. Like, I think we end up somewhere in the middle at the end of the day. All right. We got an open floor right now. We got time for another couple of questions. So if anyone has another one or somebody's been holding out, it's an open floor right now. Chuck says, this sounds terrible, but the shutdown has been a little bit of a blessing for me. It's given me the opportunity to fix my LinkedIn profile and work on my website, but I'm getting such a late start with everything in this course. Is the program material going to continue to be available after the end of April? All right, yeah, great question, because I was going to actually talk about this here in a minute. So you beat me to it, Chuck. It is not. So it's the program and the content end here at the end of April. So the way the program is designed is we're working together. You know, you have access to, it's kind of like Netflix, you know, you have access to the content. Having said that, I'm going to be talking to my team about changing that and giving you guys a little bit of extra time. I mean, partly, you know, because I know, like Chuck, in your situation, you had some unexpected things happen, and partly because of everything that's going on right now in the world, I want to extend that access. The calls will end, in, you know, or the coaching element of it will end. But, you know, we know that some of you are a little bit behind and want to go in there and get some of that training and catch up. So, you know, we're going to be extending it. We'll send out an email with details on that. Having said that, I want to just shine a spotlight on something that I've noticed over the many years of doing this. It's like Parkinson's law. The work expands to the time available, or if you have more time, you know, then it's like you'll just wait until the last minute. I'm not saying you, Chuck, but so just make sure that, you know, with the extra time, you know, don't try to now cram everything you're trying to do in the last week. Make sure to, now that you have that extra time, give yourself a little bit more room to not just consume, but to implement the material that's left on your game plan. The other thing I would say is don't fall into the trap of, oh, I got to consume it all. You know, this is not an all-you-can-eat buffet. Actually, there are a lot of similarities. You know, if you try to eat everything you possibly, if you try to get you $15 worth out of that all-you-can-eat buffet, you're going to be sick. You're going to be sick. You're going to feel miserable. You're going to regret it. Okay, so don't think of it as like, I got to get everything. That's not going to serve you. It's only going to create confusion and stress and anxiety. Focus on what's important. And yeah, anyway, enough about that. All right, Patricia has a question here. Can you please send me the link to the emergency webinar replay again? Yeah, it's best way. It's actually, Patricia, in the Facebook group. So there's a link to it directly there. If you go to the Facebook group and in the search box, if you type in emergency, you'll find it. So we posted it there. There's also, we also sent out an email the Monday after with the link, but probably the easiest way is the, and I'm going to the Facebook group right now.
And Ryan actually put the link in the chat. So thank you, Ryan.
Oh, perfect. Thank you, Ryan. Yeah. And if you, it's the third result on, if you put in emergency, just in case you lose it, it's there. It's from Crystal. Yeah, by the way, if some of you haven't gone through that, strongly recommend that you do. Some really important and relevant stuff there. And I know the situation is changing rapidly, but I try to stick to material that's going to be relevant here for the next few months. Okay, this stuff is not going to change. In fact, I talk about the different phases of that we're going to be seeing here. All right, let's see. Anyone else? I want to make sure I don't leave anyone out. All right. Ryan says, I listened while I took a walk. Great content. Had to download the slides afterward. Yeah, perfect. Yeah, so for those of you who prefer to listen to it and then go back, you know, you have the slides, which act as a great set of notes. I would still say, I mean, I think the best way to consume it is, you know, if you have it there in front of you because it's got some visuals. But yeah, definitely an option there. All right, so let's do this, guys. Let's wrap up. I want to make sure that you have some good stuff coming out of this. If you wouldn't mind going to the chat area and typing a capital T and just telling us about what your biggest takeaway was from our conversation today. We'd love to know what resonated with you. And then I want to make sure you don't just leave with some notes, that you actually have something in your notes circled or highlighted, a specific action item, something you're going to take action on over the next couple of weeks, okay? I want to make sure the stuff is not just nice to know, but it's also actionable. So T and A, T, take away a action item. And I'd love to know too, what do you think has been most helpful or one of the most helpful things from the program? I'm curious, over the past few months, what do you think has been some of the most valuable stuff you've learned or implemented. So if you're willing to share that as well, I know Susan and I would love the feedback. All right, so Michael says, all the tips on finding fintech prospects, awesome. That was a takeaway, great. Eva says, plan my revised packages for my current client and use that for my call with the client. Good stuff. Leslie, action item, promote case studies to AEC firms with strong project profiles. I'll point out similarities and differences. Excellent. And then for her takeaway, I follow a detailed schedule with the top three to-dos and one and two dones each day. Yeah, perfect. I'm glad that's been helpful, right? It just kind of nets it out. And then it makes you feel good about what you have accomplished in the day instead of feeling like, oh my gosh, where did the day go? I didn't get anything done. Ryan says, top takeaway right now, it's all about the tone of your messaging. And action item, look for more brands that are growing in spite of the crisis. Yeah. Ann says, action item, research HVAC clients, see what their pain points are right now. I think it's a great start because then you can go upstream to how it impacts their vendors, right, which is who you work with. Michael's top takeaway was on whole class, positioning, website, prospecting. Thanks so much. Didn't have a clue before on how to find non-agency clients. Great to hear it, Michael. Patricia says, takeaway, do a bit more digging into the resources as well as some messaging for upping, not cutting marketing. Yeah. Eva's takeaway, using the capacity planner and figuring out the right marketing buckets and then going after it. Would have never done my marketing the way this program suggested doing it. Great to hear. Michael's action item, use fintech prospect finding strategies we discussed today. Excellent. You know, I pay particular attention to sectors of fintech that are well positioned right now in this environment. You know, with so much going online, this situation is creating some needs that weren't around before or weren't as amplified as before. Think security, right? I mean, fintech has always been, that's sensitive information. So there's been a high degree of security there, but these companies have had to really strengthen their security measures. And that's created a whole new set of products, some messaging that needs to be updated, positioning that might need to be updated, content that needs to be created. So think in terms of, okay, based on what's happening right now, who's well positioned to profit from this and to win because they're serving their customers? And then, you know, how can I help those companies? Because they're going to be leveraging what's happening right now from a marketing standpoint. Greg says a big takeaway has been the great insight in the community here. Great. Can you share the link to the capacity planner? Yeah, it's under the operations area of the, hold on, let me tell you right now. It's under the operations area of the training portal. I'll tell you exactly where. So grow, optimize operations. And you'll see it's the third one there on the first row, Ed Capacity Planner, okay? So I'll put a link to it here. So Capacity Planner. Yep, there you go, Greg. Ryan says, overall, the program has been great. Personalized feedback and coaching, valuable content, good support system. Excellent. Great to hear that. Thank you for the feedback. Patricia, for the program, everything. So much amazing advice. And finally got my website done. Yay. Thank you so much, Susan, for your feedback. Good stuff. Ann says, thank you, Ed and Susan, for doing this program. These calls are a pleasure. And for these calls, says Patricia, thank you so much for giving us personal feedback and allowing us to chit-chat with you on these calls. Yeah, absolutely. Great. Well, listen, it's been a real pleasure working with you guys. I'll say this, like you guys have what you need to succeed, okay, right now, especially with everything that's happening. Is it going to be easy? Absolutely not. Like I said in the emergency session, I think it's going to require three big things. It's going to require a high degree of critical thinking on your part, a high degree of creative problem solving, and then some serious action. But not serious as in, you know, just like 14-hour days, but where before you may have gotten away with, you know, less than you know you could do, now you're going to have to step it up, but you have to be very strategic about it, okay? So this is where this situation is going to separate the girls from the women and the boys from the men. And you guys, the great thing is you're very well prepared to come out of it much better than you were going in. Again, not going to be easy, but you're better equipped than most, because most people doing this, most people in your shoes are making this up as they go. And the reason they may have been doing okay is because the economy was doing so well. But if the foundation is not in place, they don't have a strong foundation like you guys do, and the tools and resources and strategies and ideas and processes and approaches, then this is when their house is going to start crumbling. So you guys built your house on a strong foundation, and that's going to make a world of difference. So, Susan, any parting thoughts as we, gosh, it's kind of sad. I don't know what to say, but anything from you?
Yeah, definitely. This actually has been such a great group to work with. And I have been so grateful for people coming to these calls and, number one, being open-minded and being coachable. But number two, having really great questions. You know, I've always tried to encourage everyone on these calls is, you know, there's no question that's insignificant or silly or, you know, that kind of thing. To not worry about your questions. You're learning. You're here to learn. And that's the whole idea. And I love that people have come time after time with really great questions and things that demonstrated to me that you're really thinking ahead, that you're really heading in that direction of, you know, you were talking about more critical thinking and analytical and stuff. It's like, you are thinking three steps ahead. That's fabulous. And that's what you want. And so maybe you get to three steps ahead and then you go, ooh, I'm not sure which way to go from here, what my next step is. So you're bringing that kind of question to this group. And so everyone in this program gets to benefit when they listen to these recordings. So thank you all for being such great participants. It's been really super fun.
You said it better than I could, Susan. I'll echo what Susan said. And I want to remind everyone, listen, over the next 2 weeks, we'll be in the Facebook group. So feel free to take advantage of that. You know what to do there. We have a Q&A thread every week. Just if you need feedback on something, have a question, make sure to ask there. Again, we'll be sending out just an email with an extension on the material. And but you know, look, it's not about, again, consuming more. If you're in a good spot right now, you know, keep doing what you're doing. And if you're behind, then create a little plan for yourself so that you do get caught up and then are not doing the rest at the last minute. Hey guys, been a real pleasure. Thank you. Thank you for trusting us with your coaching and training. And I'm sure our paths will cross again in the future. And as I've said in my emails, once you get to a point where you feel, you know what, I've got good momentum here, I've grown, especially once you're above the $5,000 a month income level or the part-time equivalent, and you feel you need a little bit more, you need some help to get to the next level, we're here for you. So that's kind of the next level in coaching here. Got a great program with some great success stories, and we're helping people in some pretty creative ways there. So when you get to that point and you feel you need some help, mentoring, coaching, let us know. So until then, you guys have a great rest of the week, and hopefully we'll talk again real soon. And thank you, Susan.
You're very welcome. And take care, everybody. Stay safe and healthy.